This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
NFL fans, are you hungry for a big win this weekend? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you can win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Redline. 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive underway. It's Fan Run Radio cruising right along on this Thursday afternoon edition of the show. The Top 4 at 4 brought to you by Les Turner at Right Approach Financial. Here's Jake.
Thanks, Russ. Up first, it was a big night for former Vol Grant Williams, but the Celtics would fall to the New York Knicks in double overtimes. Williams would put up 15 points. I don't know how that worked out in there. 5 rebounds and 4 assists. Since coming into the league, he has garnered more minutes and was even in the starting lineup for the Boston Celtics last night.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for him.
Did not expect to see that.
Nice.
Well, he's, what, vice president of the Players Association or something now? So,
yeah. And he had 31 minutes in last night's game.
That's typically not a job they give to somebody who's not going to stick in the NBA, but I'm surprised to see him in the starting lineup. Good for Grant.
Right.
They got a new coach and everything now, right? Brad Stevens stepped down, right? Or he stepped up.
He stepped up. And yeah.
Hired a new coach, so maybe that's a little bit of maybe the coaching change helps Grant out a little.
I saw where people were giving Josh Richardson off because he had to take the night off last night because he had a migraine. And it got me fired up a little bit. I've never known, have you ever known Jay Rich to be soft for us?
That was not his reputation here. No.
Migraines are no joke.
No, they're not.
And number two, we got an MLB update. The Houston Astros took care of business last night against the Boston Red Sox by a score of 9-1 to take a 3-2 series lead. And Russell's Atlanta Braves put on a clinic, beating the Dodgers 9-2 to take a commanding 3-1 series lead.
Yes, they did.
They will play tonight at 8.
Put the finishing touches on the Dodgers. Leave them behind. In the land of smog and high taxes. On to the World Series. Moving on up. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Anyway, number three. Thursday night football is upon us as the Cleveland Browns take on the Denver Broncos. Both teams come into the game at 3-3, and the Browns are a 2-point favorite. Baker Mayfield, however, will not play.
Should I start the Browns defense tonight? They're projected to get 5 points. It's slim pickings on the defense special teams in fantasy.
Who's your other defense?
The Bills. They're off this week.
Well, you don't have a choice then. You got to start them. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess.
Well, no, I've got lots of choices. The 49ers are taking on the Colts. They're projected for 5 as well.
I wouldn't go near that. Carson Wentz is playing good right now.
The Jets are projected for 6 against the Patriots.
Yeah, I don't know about that either. The Patriots are kind of. Mac Jones is kind of selling it. Well, I'd start the Browns.
Here's the tempting one. The Falcons are projected for 6 at Miami.
Oh, they've got all kinds of quarterback problems down there. Why would they be trying to make a trade for somebody that's got, like, what we count up, boys? Like, over 25 sexual assault?
Because they think that he probably is going to be able to play.
Isn't Cam still available?
I believe so.
Are we surprised that Cam hadn't gotten picked up? I mean, I read somewhere where he put out that he is fully vaccinated now. That was part of why I think he wasn't getting picked up.
I don't know.
Not wanting to get that.
And number four, Florida Atlantic, Charlotte, North Texas, UT San Antonio, Rice, and UAB are set to join the American Athletic Conference. No date has been set for the schools to join the conference, but a source told ESPN that the earliest they could join would be 2023. So it's official. They are out.
It's a final now.
And then you got Southern Miss and Marshall that are trying to make the move to the Sun Belt, which technically a step back, but now Conference USA is looking like it's about to fold.
Just when I thought I remembered who was in the Sun Belt and Conference USA and the AAC, just when you thought you knew the answers, they went and changed the questions. I'm just kidding. I never actually knew who was in the Sun Belt.
Yeah, I have no clue who's in either one of these conferences.
Sun Belt is Coastal Carolina and Louisiana Lafayette, right?
Yes.
And
that's a real juggernaut.
Yeah. So, all right, we'll see what happens when all the smoke clears.
Sun Belt Super Conference.
Thank you, Jake. That is the Top 4 at 4 brought to you this afternoon by Les Turner at Right Approach Financial. Folks, it's never too soon, you youngins out there. It's never too soon to start planning for your retirement. If you start saving now, it's going to save you a lot of headaches later, even if it's just a few bucks a month that you're stashing away. Call my guy Les Turner and he'll show how you can take just a small amount of money and grow it into a sizable nest egg over the course of your working life. And for those of you who are my age and older, it's never too late to start planning either, but time is of the essence. Call Les Turner right away at Right Approach Financial. His number is 865-498-3047. You can set up a free talk with him. 865-498-3047. Tell him I sent you, or just go online to his website, rightapproachfinancial.com. A free consultation with Les Turner at Right Approach Financial. All right, I think I'm going to take the Falcons.
For your defense?
Are you really, man? I don't know, man. I don't know that I wouldn't go with the Browns. They've been playing good D all year, haven't they?
The Brownies.
You got Myles Garrett.
Aren't they healthy? You got Myles Garrett. Who's on that other defensive end now? That's somebody good.
They also activated Jarvis Landry today.
Put him in a same-game parlay.
And who's playing for Baker Mayfield?
Case Keenum.
Ooh.
So, Thursday night football rolling right along. Yeah, that it's a bizarre situation with the Dolphins trying to. Are they just done with Tua? Are they throwing their hands up that situation? It seems maybe a little early. I know he hasn't been impressive, but what, a season? Not even a season and a half.
I mean, he is what he was. You know, he's an undersized, injury prone lefty that doesn't have elite arm strength.
Yeah, but he was so good at Alabama. Is he the best quarterback they had during the past couple of years, the Saban era?
It's so hard to tell because all those wide receivers are tearing it up. You know, Henry Ruggs, Jalen Waddle, I go name all of them.
Yeah, that's what Tennessee's got to get.
Was he good or was he surrounded by elite talent? Yeah. He had Derrick Henry.
I mean, I know quarterback, they say it's the most important position on the field, but I feel like if you have two or three elite receivers, you got some running backs, and you've just got a competent quarterback, game manager type, which I think Hendon Hooker can be for us. We add some weapons. We develop some of the weapons they've got there.
Let's put it this way. Dangerous. I think if you put Hendon Hooker on that Alabama team, he could have won the Heisman Trophy, and they would have won national championship. It things are a lot simpler when you turn it around and hand the ball off to Najee Harris, Derrick Henry, a stable of running backs, and you've got potential future Hall of Famers and All Pros at wide receiver and tight end, and you've got basically a professional offensive line blocking for you.
Let's go back to the G3 Help Me Hotline, where Phil is next. Good afternoon, Phil.
Mike Larry, W.
Philly.
How you bearing, Jake Snake doing?
Man, we're making it. Doing all right.
Speaking of Alabama, also the referees don't call any holding penalties on the offensive line. They probably have one or two in 10 years.
That helps, too. Saw a graphic from the Vol Football Twitter account earlier today about Jerome Carvin. He has not surrendered a sack all year, which is interesting because Tennessee leads the league in most sacks given up, and it's not even close. Tennessee's given up 24 or 25 sacks, and the next highest team is Mississippi State at 17.
Yeah. Well, Tennessee's guard situation, when Carvin's guard, they're playing center out of necessity right now, so hopefully you can get Cooper Mays back, and that'll help, but we need to get Cade back bad.
Badly.
Because that way, then you wouldn't have to put what's-his-name from Gibbs out there on the field.
Ollie Lane.
Yeah, he's a mediocre player, but it is what it is. Tennessee's probably got about seven or eight linemen over there. They're probably not any SEC level ball players. Apple's going to have to clean that thing up quick.
Yeah, but that being said, Phil, hats off to the kids that have had to step up, like Ollie Lane and Dane Davis, and they just aren't quite talented enough. But they're leaving it out on the field. I mean, they're just aren't quite talented enough to compete against some of the upper echelon SEC teams, but I mean they're damn giving their all for us. So
yeah, the Dee Beckwith, interesting situation for this game coming up. Hopefully he can give us something the rest of the year, and maybe there's hope for him playing running. But I think he's too good of an athlete to be wasted not just sit on the bench over there.
You would think so. That's one of the more bizarre situations because it's not like he's a completely unknown commodity. We saw him flash a little bit against Vandy last year. I know it's Vandy, but I think we were all watching that thinking, there's a intriguing piece of the puzzle potentially. And then for him not to get snaps to the point where you got a walk-on playing ahead of him, has been a real head scratcher.
Yeah. And I think Hopple maybe getting smart. He knows these, small scat backs we got out there are going to get hurt, and they're getting hurt, and he's going to have to recruit a little bit bigger of a back to absorb the pounding of the SEC defenses.
It would be interesting to sit down and talk with him after the season and just ask him, if going through an SEC season where you played Florida, Georgia, Alabama, knowing that you're going to have to play those teams every year, and LSU comes on the schedule too next year. Like, did your thought process about what you need on your roster change at all? And he's been in this league before, right? He's at Missouri for 2 years. He's coached at Oklahoma, so he knows what great football looks like. But is it different when you're the head coach and you see some of the injury problems and things that creep up? Does that change your views on roster construction at all?
Well, I would say Tennessee will probably hit the transfer portal to fill needs after the season, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And you're looking for some impact guys, maybe a receiver or two, maybe an edge rusher, maybe an offensive lineman. If you find a tackle that wants to come in and play right away, there's going to be some opportunities out there.
Yeah, and it'd be great if they could somehow get Dalen Hayden to say no at Ohio State, and then get your get our guy out there at Powell that's going to play Catholic tonight. You get those two guys out there, that'll make a whole recruiting class for Josh Hopple.
Hey, rumor has it, fellas, that Dalen Hayden is a little bit. I've heard he might possibly be wavering on that commitment to the Ohio State University.
Well, if you've seen the way our running backs have been getting loose this year, your dad played here. It's a lot closer than, or a little closer, I'd imagine, than Columbus.
A lot closer.
That'd be an intriguing situation. Yeah. Phil, we got to run, man.
Bye.
Thank you. Appreciate the phone call. Andy Staples of The Athletic set to join us when we continue next here on Fan Run Radio. All right, welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith cruise along with you. Thursday afternoon edition of the show. Pleased to be joined right now by Andy Staples of The Athletic. Good afternoon, Andy. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon.
Hey, man. Thanks for jumping on with us here this afternoon. Would be interested to hear your thoughts on the Tennessee situation, all the drama off the field. You've got another ugly incident at Neyland Stadium Saturday night. You've got the Jeremy Pruitt saber-rattling in the media about a lawsuit going on. And then all that stuff juxtaposed to mild-mannered Josh Heupel. He's trying to build his program, just trying to do his thing. And how much of a detriment is all the other stuff to what Heupel's trying to get done?
Well, the chucking stuff on the field didn't help. But, I mean, the Jeremy Pruitt stuff is completely irrelevant to what Josh Heupel's doing because, we don't know what the ultimate result of that is going to be. We don't know what, in terms of if there's going to be any NCAA penalties or, shoot, if the NCAA is even going to be dealing with football by the time all this stuff wraps up. So, I don't think Josh Heupel needs to worry about any of that right now because he just needs to keep doing what he's doing. I think they've done a fantastic job this season. I think, other than picking Joe Milton to start opening day instead of Hendon Hooker, which, from based on what I've heard at practice, Milton looked like the better player. But then when you see Hooker in a game and he can run around and because you're not able to hit him in practice, you realize, okay, he can make a lot of plays and keep a lot of drives alive. But that's really the only mistake I can see that Heupel's made so far. This team plays hard for him. They're a lot better than we thought they were going to be based on how many guys they lost. And so I think they're doing great, and they should just try to use that momentum as much as they can. As far as recruiting goes, I know they're going to get questions about the future, but they're telling the truth when they say we don't know what's going to happen and we don't know if it's going to be that bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tennessee could ban itself from a bowl game this year because if I'd have said at the beginning of the season Tennessee was going to win six games, I think a lot of people would have thought I was crazy. So they could ban themselves from the Birmingham Bowl this year and then proactively apply that to whatever happens later. And by the time all that stuff's done, Tennessee may be finished serving it if they're proactive about it by doing it during this kind of rebuilding phase. So I really think the product on the field is in good shape, regardless of what's going on off the field.
Well, you wrote a piece at The Athletic this week basically saying, hey, Tennessee continues to – they could just run out the clock on this situation, and who knows if there's going to be any NCAA governing body to levy penalties this time next year.
Well, I didn't say this time next year. I said in 5 years or 4 years. But, one of the things Jeremy Pruitt's lawyer – suggested is, he's going to dish all this other dirt that would lead to another or a more in-depth NCAA investigation. Well, if I were Tennessee, I'd be like, fine, go for it. First of all, I think that's probably a bluff. I don't think they're going to do that because you spill tea like that, you break the Omerta code, you're never working in college football again. So you're trying to get this $12.6 million, but you'll never get another penny as a college football because maybe what Tennessee already has on Jeremy Pruitt is enough that he's never going to work in college football again anyway, so he feels like it's worth risking this. But if you drop a bunch of info and the NCAA says, well, we need to investigate this more, and if you're Tennessee, you go, okay, fine, give us the Ole Miss treatment. Take like 6 years to investigate this. Go for it. We welcome it. Because by 6 years from now, there's a very good chance the NCAA is not in control of football anymore.
I'm scrolling through your Twitter feed, Andy. Somebody asked you a really good question earlier. What is the difference between what Pruitt is doing right now, threatening to reveal all this other stuff he knows, and what Dino Gaudio did or was caught on tape doing at Louisville?
Mm-hmm. Not much. I mean, I wrote it in the column. It's basically Jeremy Pruitt's lawyer tiptoed right up to the line that separates an invitation to settlement talks and blackmail. I mean, that's pretty much what this is. I mean, he didn't say, I think if you wanted it to be blackmail, I think the attorney or Jeremy Pruitt would have to admit that the case has no merit. Then you'd just be saying, well, we're going to release all this embarrassing information in the process, and that's why we're doing this. They are not admitting that their case has no merit. Now, if Tennessee found what we think they found, we've read the contract. The contract is pretty clear. A coach that commits level one or level two NCAA violations, the school can fire him for cause. Like, it's right there in black and white. So, and level two is the medium strength one. So there's some pretty ticky-tack stuff in there. So I don't think Jeremy Pruitt would have much of a case. So really what this is pay me or I'll embarrass you. I'll reveal embarrassing information. And yes, we do have a word for that, for that, what that sentence means. That's blackmail.
Talking with Andy Staples of The Athletic this afternoon. Andy, you mentioned, you know, the NCAA, its influence continues to wane with each passing day. I realize this is a bigger conversation that we might have time for, but going forward, you cover this closely. What would an alternative to the NCAA be as far as a governing body for the upper levels of college football? What would that look like, in your opinion?
It'd be the CFP. It'd be the 10 conferences in the FBS that make up the CFP. The only difference between what they govern now and what they do now and what the NCAA does, they would have to add basically make their own rules and have their own enforcement arm, and then they'd have to decide who's eligible to play and how people, you know, how you decide whether guys are eligible or not. That's pretty much it. I mean, they handle the postseason already. That's where the money is. I mean, the conferences themselves handle the TV deals. So it's not like there would have to be this big thing, because remember, these are all NCAA member schools. They helped make the rules that are currently in place. They all understand, especially Greg Sankey at the SEC, because he's been very vocal about this over the last few years, they understand the rules have to change because that Supreme Court case they lost, all the different state laws regarding NIL, basically public opinion and political opinion has turned completely against the NCAA and the schools. It's all on the side of the players now. So they're going to have to make different rules, and I think they understand that. I had an AD text me today, not in the SEC, but saying that that person read the column and that people don't understand that a lot of people in college athletics are already looking at it as a, quote, post-NCAA world. And I think the infrastructure is already in place. It wouldn't be that hard to go ahead and have the FBS conferences govern themselves in football. And then it's interesting because Bob Huggins said something similar yesterday for basketball. Now, the NCAA does have, obviously, a huge vested interest in basketball because the men's basketball tournament pretty much funds the NCAA. They make about $1 billion a year on it. So, but he said, well, why couldn't the FBS conferences or the Power Five or however you want to split it up, why couldn't they have their own men's basketball tournament? And he's not wrong. Like, everybody assumes that Cinderella is the reason we watch the basketball tournament. But all we would do is adjust our view of what Cinderella is. Like, instead of Creighton, and Creighton is actually a pretty good college basketball program, but instead of, say, you know, the University of San Diego or Wyoming or one of these that sort of comes out of nowhere, we just adjust it to have, like, Kansas State be Cinderella in a year that they didn't have a great regular season record. And so I think everybody's sort of understanding they don't need the NCAA. They can create their own thing if they want to. And with football, I think it would be the easiest one to break off.
Talking with Andy Staples this afternoon on The Drive. Andy, I don't know how much of the second half of Tennessee Ole Miss you got to see. I'm sure you've heard.
All of it.
Okay, all right. So you know exactly what I'm talking about in the injury situation, or more pointedly, faking injuries. There's been a lot of talk about that this week. What are your thoughts on that, and what could be done about it, if anything?
There's nothing you can do about it. They've been trying to do stuff about it. You can say, oh, make somebody sit out for three plays or make them sit out for the rest of the series. But you know what that would make people do? People who are actually hurt would continue playing so they wouldn't have to sit out for the rest of the series, and they would damage themselves. There's the problem, the reason they've never been able to come up with a rule for any of this stuff is any rule you make could cause severe damage to someone who's not faking. And that's what makes it such a tricky situation. And it's hard to diagnose intent. Like, there was the remember when Oregon was starting all this and starting the blur offense with Chip Kelly, Tosh LaPoy at Cal got caught on camera telling a player to go down. And then the Pac-12, I believe they fined Cal, and, you know, they made a big show of it. But you got to catch somebody doing that. You got to catch a coach doing that, because it's not going to happen. And then you have weird situations like Iowa accusing Penn State of faking injuries. Like, there's a reason to fake injuries against Iowa. They're super slow on offense. And like, the players who got hurt for Penn State, like, Jaquan Brisker isn't faking an injury. He's Penn State's best defensive player. Like, they want him on the field. So it's weird. It seems obvious in games like Tennessee-Ole Miss, where both offenses go really fast and you're trying to slow down a fast offense. But it's gotten to the point where every time somebody goes down, it's like, oh, he's faking an injury. And it's fine to make a rule, but the one time you screw up and the person's really hurt and some guy who is truly injured probably should come off the field, but is trying to be a tough guy, and he's like, nope, I'm going to stay because I don't want to sit out a whole series. I don't want to sit out however long the new rule says I have to sit out. And they get really hurt, then it's even worse. So that's the conundrum that the folks who make the rules face with that issue.
Eddie, last thing, we'll let you run here. Your early favorite to land the LSU job?
Ooh, man, that's a tough one. They're going to take some massive swings at big names, and they're probably going to get no's from those guys. But, you know, there are going to be a lot of people who want this job, because the last three guys who have held it have won the national title. So it's going to be pretty tough. You know, we talk about James Franklin being a candidate at USC. If he's a candidate at USC, then he should be a candidate at LSU as well. Like, I think he would do really well there. We've seen him coach in the SEC. He led Vanderbilt to two consecutive 9-win seasons. You guys know how hard that is to do. Like, everybody knows how hard that is to do. You know, he can recruit at a high level. He's actually won the Big Ten, even with Ohio State at full strength. So I think he'd be a good choice. I think Mel Tucker at Michigan State would be a really good choice. You look at what he's done there with the roster he inherited, which is not good at all. They went in the transfer portal, scouted it really well, flipped the roster, changed the culture of that program. They're undefeated right now. They have no business being undefeated given what he inherited. And it's a testament to what he can do as a coach. And you know from his time with Nick Saban in Alabama, with Kirby Smart at Georgia, that he understands how to recruit, what type of body type he's looking for, what type of speed he's looking for. He could build a roster that can compete for national titles. So I think he'd be an interesting one. The other one, Mario Cristobal at Oregon, you know he'd make that roster just stacked, and especially on the line of scrimmage, they would be great. The question with Mario, and you're seeing this with Oregon, is he's got to figure out how to make his team play big in games that aren't huge. Like, their biggest games, they play great. But they have these weird kind of sleepwalk games where they either lose or they just have to, like, they had to squeak one out against Cal last week. It shouldn't have been close at all. But that's, so he's got to figure out how to overcome that, because you can't do that at LSU. So they're going to have so many good options. I'm very interested to see what direction they go with it.
Eddie, great stuff. Always great visiting with you. Appreciate your time. Thanks for jumping on.
Thanks.
Andy Staples of The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at Andy_Staples. He appears as all Fan Run guests do via the G3 Help Me Hotline if you or a loved one has been injured in an accident. The Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III can help you get the compensation you deserve. At G3, you matter most. Visit g3helpme.com or call 865-401-8214 to get help now. Again, that's g3helpme.com. We're going to take a quick timeout, open up the phone lines again, 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show. The Drive continues next on Fan Run Radio. back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Andy Staples of The Athletic. Bear, what did you learn?
The thing I loved was Andy Staples saying, taking the Ole Miss approach to just, yeah, take 6 years. Investigate us. You know, 6 years from now, the NCAA may be out of business. The other thing he said that, you know, he mentioned Bob Huggins. I will go ahead and go on record saying NCAA ain't giving up basketball without, you know, Armageddon. You going to give up $1 billion, Russ, without a fight?
I would say it's not theirs to give up. I would say that if the schools, the conferences, that's essentially what Huggins was talking about, is the conferences getting together, just like we're talking about in football, and saying, we're doing our own thing.
When is their meeting?
Yeah, I got you, man, but basketball's different, Russ, because if you split off the Power Five, that's one thing. But that NCAA tournament, the public loves it. I mean, it's the premier TV, made-for-TV sporting event. Every year it ends winter and ushers the country into spring, and when it goes on for a month, I think there would be a severe backlash. It'd be the only time I could see the NCAA coming out looking favorable if the greed heads in Power Five tried to mess with that tournament. With that being said, you know, the NCAA is the only institution or thing in this country that even in this hyper-polarized state that our country's in right now, they lost a Supreme Court decision 9-0, which is just boggles the mind right now.
Well, that's just further reason that I don't think there would be. I think there'd be a couple of people upset. You know, what about the smaller schools? Yeah, it's fun to see George Mason going to run in the NCAA tournament. But if the conferences get together and they have a plan and say, look, when this TV contract expires, we're doing our own thing. We're going to call it the tournament. It's going to be the exact same format, you know, a 64, 68-team tournament across the country with all your favorites, and it's going to be televised, just like normal. Nothing's going to change.
I'll be fine with it as long as those smaller schools, like your George Masons, your VCUs, your Cinderella teams, are still included in it. You know, the Dunk City team?
Florida Gulf Coast.
Your Florida Gulf Coast, you know, the Banana Slug team at University out in California, whatever it was.
I think there are a lot of people who feel that way, but the conferences don't. Like, they just don't care. The SEC doesn't
care.
Well,
I know, but...
And if they find a way to make...
There would be a backlash.
Maybe.
Let's not forget their constitutional convention is coming up in just a few weeks.
Yeah, that's what struck me about what he said about, you know, 5 years. I mean, that seems like an eternity. I feel like they're going to hit the self-destruct button within the next 12 months.
I think they will as far as football. Absolutely. I mean, they're pretty much toothless right now. I mean, they can't do anything with Will Wade.
The thing that seems to have stirred our audience up, at least on Twitter, is our conversation about the injuries. Andy Staples said he doesn't think anything can be done about faking injuries. I disagree. I understand you might not be able to get it out completely, but I think that what happened Saturday night was a farce. And I think that at the very least, and he pointed out the situation at Cal where Tosh Lupoy was caught on film telling a player to go down. Well, that happened, ironically, it happened at Tennessee.
That was called Heupel.
It wasn't Heupel. It was Glenn Ellerbe, the O-line coach, telling Spraggins to go down. Oh. And you saw the official run right up to him and say, look, you can't do that, which I'm sure Heupel is thinking, like, seriously, dude? You're telling me.
Yeah, good talk to that clown across the field.
But I do think if you're an official and you see that, you hear that, I think you need to throw a flag. It should be a 15-yard penalty. And I realize that there's ways to work around that, and that's probably what Ole Miss was doing, was coordinating that. It's like, okay, this is your turn on third down, whatever you do. But there's some things you can do to limit it. And I understand his argument about, this is what Davey Hudson said when we were talking about on a voluntary reaction Saturday night, is if you do that, there are going to be guys that are trying to stay in there even though they're a little bit banged up just because they don't want to come out of the game. My retort to that would be that's been happening for years and years in football anyway.
Well, then what? Maybe what you need to, maybe what they need to look at is you start charging team. You start off first, just charging their timeouts. You know, give up all your timeouts right off the top.
But then you get into how do you diagnose whether it's real or not?
Doesn't matter.
Of course it matters. You're going to penalize somebody for having somebody goes down with a broken leg and you're going to take a timeout away from them?
I mean, it's pretty obvious when somebody's got a broken leg.
Well, it's, but this is, again, here we are. It's not so obvious when somebody has a torn ACL.
It's obvious that what they always, it's always the same injury. It's not really an injury. They go down with cramps. That's what they do. They just lay down and fake a cramp because you can't tell if somebody's cramping or not.
Well, and that's the key word. You can't tell.
You can tell by looking at Lane Kiffin's smirking-ass face. I'd like to see him at the Chapman Highway Walmart one night.
I think at the very least, you throw – it's a 15-yard penalty if you catch a coach telling a player to go down in a game. That takes care of that. And then I think if you do – I think it's very easy to say, look, no matter it, injuries real or fake, we're not here to decide that, but you can't sub off an injury. You can sub, obviously, for the injured player. He has to come off the field, but at the very least, you say, listen, you can't come back you were in your 4-2-5 nickel package, you can't come back in a 4-3.
No, and the other thing that they can do is, in this situation, is don't let the teams go over the sideline. Talk to coach. Keep them out in the middle of the field. Just have them huddle up. Take a knee or something, but don't go over to the sidelines. Hmm. And exactly what you said, these wholesale substitutions. Because that's what Monty Kiffin's idiot kid was doing over there. I hate him. That smirking SOB.
You loved him. Just 6 weeks ago, you would have thrown Heupel in front of an oncoming train to hire him back here.
Now I wouldn't trade Heupel. I wouldn't trade him for Heupel for all the tea in China.
Well, I'm glad you've finally seen the light. I hope the rest of your kind have let it go as well.
I'll have to talk to Chance and get back to you on that.
Westchester is next. Good afternoon, Westchester.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Hey, doing well. Thanks.
Hey, Russ, got a quick question. If we've registered for that giveaway last week, do we have to re-register?
Oh, the GNJ thing? No, you're good. You're in there.
Good deal. Guys, we're going to lose this weekend, and that's okay. We're not there yet. I'm actually kind of glad that we lost to Ole Miss just a little bit, because you imagine the frenzy in this town if we were had a reason to believe we could beat Alabama. I mean, I know that you were kidding earlier and you're trying to be optimistic about it, but I mean, we have no chance, but that's okay. If we can win out and take care of the bottom half of the East in its first year, that's one hell of a first step.
No doubt.
Not to mention, you got a chance to take out the number two team in the East here in a couple of weeks.
If you win three of those last four, if you beat Kentucky and your only losses to – if your only two losses the rest of the way are Alabama and Georgia, and you finish this season 7-5, that is a outrageous success.
Yeah, like what have I said for the last 3 years or 5 years or however long it's been that, you know, get back to taking care of business against the bottom half of the East first, and then we can worry about other stuff like Georgia and Florida and Alabama and Ole Miss. I mean, that Ole Miss game is a throwaway game. It has maybe it cost us a slightly better bowl, but that's it. And I don't even think it did that because they know Tennessee fans are dying to go. So we're going to get a good bowl bid. We're going to be 7-5. It's a good place to be. I sure didn't think it. A lot of people didn't think it. You know, six was everybody's kind of realistic expectation, and now we're staring at 7, and that's pretty good.
Pretty good.
But it's first year. We always love a new coach in the first year, so let's see what happens over time. Guys, have a good show. Thanks.
Thank you, Westchester. Folks, if you are looking for a sports-watching experience unrivaled, go check out the book at Harrah's Cherokee Casino. Huge viewing area with a 90-foot screen. Yeah, 90-foot at three private fan caves, the ultimate way to experience game day with your friends. Fan caves offer guests a massive 85-inch HD TV plus two 43-inch 4K TVs and convenient access to betting stations. The raised seating area offers two viewing zones for groups of up to six sports fans with elevated viewing areas, HD and 4K TVs, and panoramic views of the book, their giant game wall. This is the place to see and be seen. Harrah's Cherokee Casino and the book. Go check them out. Tell them Fan Run sent you. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. If you want to jump in on the drive here this afternoon, the Thursday edition of the show, Fan Run Radio. Powell coming to the Butch Bowl. I love it.
You're going to get that ass whipped.
Powell is?
Yeah. Hopefully Keandre Jarman and our quarterback can guard. You know, our quarterback's got a broken hand.
Bad news on Walter Nolan.
What's
that? What is it?
He's going back to A&M this weekend.
Oh, God. That's all right. I really think we got the inside track on him.
They need to, these car dealers here need to get on it like that dude up in Kentucky. Can we get him a...
Take him to the Maserati dealership right down the road.
There you go.
Set him up in one.
That big guy couldn't fit his big ass in a Maserati. Have you seen him?
Get him a Cadillac Escalade.
Oh, one of the XLs?
Yeah.
It'd have to be, I don't know, he'd probably fit in one of them Porsche SUVs. He definitely fit in one of those Maserati SUVs.
Or.
Those things are massive.
Put him in a truck.
Josh Jobs rides in.
Local business community needs to step it up.
A GMC 3500 Denali. That's what he needs.
They want to give their all for Tennessee, Russ? It's a question they need to ask themselves.
True dat. True dat indeed. We will take a quick timeout. The Drive, Fan Run Radio. More of your phone calls coming up. Stay with us. We're back with more after this. Fan Run Radio. The Drive continues. 865-546-8200. You want to jump in. Geraldo is next. What's up, Geraldo? Geraldo Ball.
I can't help but feel like this is almost like a bye week. It kind of feels like a bye week.
Oh,
guys.
So I know, man. It's so weird. And when you had the actual bye week right after it, it's like 2 weeks of no football.
Yeah. Well, and like I think I would be more excited for Saturday night's game if I knew for sure Hooker was playing. But it just kind of feels like he's not going to play. Like, even if he is practicing on the field and stuff and he's getting better, I just don't see them starting.
Geraldo, we lost you.
You there? Hello?
Oh, there he
Hello?
Is. Yeah, I could Hello? Sense oh, you gosh. Were going to come back. Yeah, I okay. feel like even if Hooker starts, you know, how effective is he going to be? Is he going to be as mobile as he usually is? Is he going to be rusty from not having practiced as much? I mean, your chances with a 100% Hendon Hooker were not that great to begin with. So what are we talking about here?
Right. And so it just kind of feels like a bye week a little bit. But that's okay because the Drive is the best radio not only in East Tennessee, but these United States of America.
Oh, you're too kind. You're too kind.
So, hey, guys, if Jeremy Pruitt is wanting to play chicken with the University of Tennessee, and I know Bear knows what I'm talking about, let's just leave it at that. I've read some stories about Jeremy Pruitt during his time at Tennessee, and if he wants to play the embarrassment game, oh, we can play that game, Mr. Pruitt. We can play that game.
You want to go to war? We'll go to war.
I think he has far more to be embarrassed about than we did.
But here's the thing. a Gump has no shame. Things that would embarrass the hell out of you and me. Probably he's like, yeah, we married our sisters. I'm from Alabama. What's up about it? Like we'd be that'd be beyond the pale. But for a Gump from Rainesville, Alabama,
what well, got married at the Whataburger?
It's no thing.
So you, gotta, that, you know, that is a good point.
Yeah.
That is a good point. I'm so tired of him. Like, who is a worse coach, him or Chad Morris? Who's the worst head coach?
Oh, definitely Chad Morris.
Yeah. Chad Morris is worse than Pruitt?
That's pretty bad, dude.
I'll say this. Chad Morris was hired as a head coach and then got hired to coach another team. Jeremy Pruitt will not be hired to be the head coach of Unaka High School. Like, he's done, right? At least Chad Morris got two head coaching jobs. And think about that. I think that's, and granted, this is a rather pathetic conversation to be having, but my money's with Morris in that clash of the Titans.
Wow. Well, before I get off here, this is a completely random question that I've always wondered about. What's everyone's favorite Star Wars movie? Go.
I've never seen Star Wars.
Empire.
What?
Jake doesn't watch movies. He's weird. It's a La Follette thing.
The original. A New Hope.
I'm big Empire Strikes Back. I like the cliffhanger. Where's Han Solo? Is he going to make it? What's up with Luke?
I am lost. Clown.
You got to go watch the Star Wars trilogy, Jake.
No.
What do you mean no?
I'm not going to watch it. Oh, man. That stuff does not interest me in the slightest.
Stupider than me not ever wanting to see who stupider. You jackass. Yeah.
He just called me but, stupid by saying stupid.
Yeah, at least he is not going to offer an opinion without having seen it. I got to side with Jake here, even though you're both dullards. Well, Brad is in La Follette. Speaking of La Follette, what's up, Brad?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Russ, I'm glad you're finally coming around to my way of thinking, buddy. These local businesses are going to have to step their game up. We got Kentucky up there giving away Porsches, and we're down here giving away chocolate chip cookies.
Who's going to step up? Those cookies are delicious, by the way. Who's going to step up and put Walter Nolan in a brand new car? Come on. Who's going to do it?
Mercedes-Benz ought to put the big guy in a damn G-Wagon.
There you go.
That's what I think.
Hey, that'd be a good one.
Imagine the pub that dealership would have and give a car. Give me a break.
That's advertising.
How you feeling about the game? Imagine the commercial.
How you feeling about the game tonight, man?
The Bravos?
Yes, sir.
It's done. It's done, Brad.
I'm talking about Catholic and Pal, boys.
It's over. O-V-E-R.
I've got a little bit of reservation because we are Braves fans and we can't have anything nice.
You don't have to worry about it, Brad. You know why?
Why's that?
Because I ain't watching. And that guarantees a Braves victory.
I feel a lot better now.
If you're a Dodgers fan, I'll watch it for $1 million. Thank you, Brad. Appreciate the phone call. Stay with us. The Drive continues. Hour number 3 coming up.